Warriors broadcaster Bob Fitzgerald joining us, as he will throughout the NBA playoffs, to break down the action that we saw in Game 1 of the Warriors-Jazz series. Sees a very fresh Warriors team facing a Utah Jazz team that had gone 7 in their series with the LA Clippers, and rest can be a very beautiful thing, and takes you back to Portland and Game 4 and making sure you got that win. So all the ample rest was there heading into this Western Conference semifinals.
Well, and the thing is that rest versus rust is kind of the time-honored debate in the NBA playoffs. Do you want to be fresh physically, but then miss that rhythm and execution? But the Warriors defensively didn't miss anything. Their rotations were crisp. They played with great energy. So the defense was there. Then the depth was on display, where you have Ian Clark play well and David West and the return of Sean Livingston. So the Warriors didn't make threes at the level that they will. And I think their offense will become more finely tuned as they get back into playing every other day. But the rest and the focus on defense was there right from the get-go, and that's really why they won Game 1.
As we're sitting there watching it, you're thinking, yeah, right, the threes aren't going in. But at one point, they led by 21 points. Very good signs as we head to Game 2. Then the series shifts to Salt Lake City for Games 3 and 4.
Well, that's why I think if you're Utah, you're saying, hey, we ran them off the three-point line. They weren't hitting threes. Steph Curry had one made three. Uh-oh, we're still down 20. That's a concern for the Utah Jazz. I think for the Warriors, the offense will come, but the tempo battle and the way Utah bleeds the clock and the way they don't want the Warriors to be free and easy and they want to junk up the game, I kind of call it concrete in the washing machine, you may have to play that style. But the Warriors are so good that whatever kind of fight breaks out, they can handle it. So you want to be in the corners and the clinches and trading body blows, fine. You want to get out free and easy and profile a little bit. The Warriors can run like no team in the league. So they're built to handle either, and they'll be tested by Utah in the patience game. It's just something that Utah can only play that way, and the Warriors would prefer not to, but they'll still beat them at that.
We're seeing themes return and return, such as that the Warriors in Game 1's starting series have won 10 of their last 11. And then you see Draymond Green rising to the occasion in each of these Game 1's the way that he does. It's almost like when you have a flight that's leaving the airport at 6 a.m. Some people just have that internal clock to just wake up at 4:30 in the morning and get to the airport. Some people need an alarm. Draymond just has that internal alarm that says, like, hey, it's time to go.
Well, Game 1 sets the tone for a whole series, you know, and particularly if you have the home court. If you hold serve Games 1 and 2, the other team has to beat you 4 times now in the remaining 5 games. Mathematically, it becomes pretty impossible. So Game 1, the preparation, the focus, and you said the internal alarm clock. I think Draymond wants to put his imprint on a series very early. And any idea of the opposition on a matchup or something that they can have success, he wants to snuff that out early. And the rest of the Warriors kind of follow him. I think the best part about Game 1 against Utah is the way they set the tone defensively. If they had been very sloppy and the Jazz got a little confidence and the game lasts longer and they're in it longer, the team starts to build on a belief system. I think the Warriors want to take that away right away. And in first-round games and most of these series, they've done a great job of it.
You know, a couple of months back, you heard Coach Kerr talking about the idea of appropriate fear when you deal with playoffs opponents. And Utah has been built to be its own thing. Dennis Lindsay, the general manager, and Quinn Snyder, and the work that they've done to make this team what it has become and here in the Western Conference semifinals is worth taking note of. And then you think of what Utah is bringing to this series right now. What is the appropriate fear that the Warriors still need to have as they move forward?
Well, if you were going to build a team to beat the Warriors, the first thing you do is give it size. So Gobert and Derek Favors. Then you would give it depth. Joe Johnson and Ingles and Boris Diaw and Rodney Hood. You'd have a legitimate point guard who could play Curry head up. They have that in George Hill. You'd have a team that could make threes. Ingles is third in the league in three-point percentage, and Joe Johnson can hit from deep. And then you'd have a 20-point scorer in Gordon Hayward that can give you something most every night. Utah has built to bother the Warriors. The problem is, they only can go in the slow lane at about 50 miles an hour, while the Warriors can drive 100. And I don't know that the Jazz can become quicker or faster or more athletic or play an up-and-down game. And I think that's the difference. But the appropriate fear is the Jazz have a lot of things that could bother the Warriors on a given night, And if all those coalesce, you could have a tough game. And, oh, by the way, playing in Utah, very difficult road crowd. The games there have always been competitive the last couple years.
What is that exactly? It seems like the building's almost like the Pepsi Center in Denver. You got some of the altitude to deal with, as well as a very frenzied crowd. And the way that the building kind of is constructed, it just creates more and more noise as the game rolls on. But there is something about that crowd. What is it?
Well, I think it starts with the altitude. It's the second highest altitude outside of Denver, so it's sneaky. It gets up on you. You don't feel quite as good there. But the crowd was whipped into a frenzy by Jerry Sloan all those years. He was always on the officials. He was always really a fiery guy, and I think the crowd followed suit. Also, there's nothing else in Utah sports-wise. You know, you don't have a baseball team, you don't have a football team, you got one professional basketball team, you don't have an NHL team. So people are really into the Jazz. And so I think there's a fervor there, and now that they've returned to the postseason, I think that really has that crowd rolling. And it's got a cauldron effect in that stadium. Oracle is built acoustically to keep all that noise in, and Utah kind of goes straight up in a big cavernous type of situation, but it keeps that noise ground on the court. So it's got that cauldron, cyclone, whatever you want to say, but it is a very loud building.
Warriors broadcaster Bob Fitzgerald joining us here on Warrior Sound, and we think back to between the first and second quarter last night, the We Believe team coming out. You emceed the festivities there at Oracle Arena, and when you think of what that team still represents now 10 years later, and gosh, 10 years, it was really fun to see that last night.
Well, I think the thing about We Believe is that, you know, they had to go 16-5 just to qualify for the playoffs on the last day of the season. It ended the 13-year drought for the Warriors wandering in the wilderness, not being in the NBA postseason. And then, oh, by the way, here's Dallas with the number one record in the league, and then Dirk Nowitzki is the MVP, and it becomes the first 8 seed ever to beat a 1 seed in a 7-game series in NBA history. And then the personalities from a Baron Davis and Steven Jackson and Monte Ellis and Don Nelson. There was really a great energy and a chemistry. Didn't have an idea there'd be longevity, but for a moment in time, that was super special. And the connectedness between the fans that exhorted them into that 16-5 finish and just the way Oracle was as a building for that playoff series will always make that upset of Dallas special. We'll always have those guys in Warrior history as a team that ended the drought. And they're all still Warrior fan favorites. And so I think to see that between the first and second quarter and see Jason Richardson and Monte Ellis and Baron Davis and Steven Jackson, Keith Smart, Travis Schlenk, they're just a lot of people that have a piece that We Believe that it will always, always have a big place in, you know, the heart of a Warrior fan.
And a huge roar from the crowd as Matt Barnes entered the game, and it all came together. And you think of Jay Rich in the pregame, they had a press conference where he talked about really when Baron and the group that became We Believe came to the Warriors, it was the start of the path to which we're enjoying right now in many ways.
Well, I think that's so true, is that, you know, the 13-year drought, then you end the playoffs. The year after, they won 48 games, which is still the NBA record for wins for not making the playoffs. The West had all 50-win teams. 2007, successful, We Believe. 2008, 48 wins, successful. Keith Smart kind of kept the culture and chemistry going. And then with Mark Jackson and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, you go from 47 to 51 to 67 in the title, 73, and then 67 in the path that you're on right now. So the last decade of Warrior basketball has been really good and really a stark change from previous decades. So I think that if, where was the fire starter or the beginning of the turnaround? I think We Believe probably is 2007 is where you would start that.
Great fun last night. And as we wrap things up here, let's think of what your gut tells you that we will see in this series as the games unfold here, especially game two, and then just as it shifts to Salt Lake City.
Well, I think the Warriors in Utah have a lot of tape to look at what worked and what didn't work, but the 2-game turnaround is not going to favor the Jazz in terms of a lot of their bigger players in Gobert and Favors are dealing with some physical stuff, and you don't have that recuperation time. I think for the Warriors, they're going to want to say, hey, 2-0, we could really put a hammer lock on this series. Because I think Game 3 in Utah, just like Game 3 in Portland, was very, very difficult. That will be the toughest game of the series, particularly on the road as the scene shifts. If they're up 2-0 and put Utah in a desperation situation. I think Utah found a little good run with Rodney Hood off the bench. they need scoring. So whether it's Hood, they have to have Hayward play better. George Hill has got to give them more offensively. But Utah did some good things in the third quarter. They outscored the Warriors in the quarter. They won it by a single point. They played their tempo. Can they replicate that for four quarters? I think for the Warriors, magnificent with seven turnovers, better three-point shooting. And it's hard to say just make shots, but I love the shots that they had from three. A lot of wide-open looks. They're not going to have Andre Iguodala go 0-for from distance. And I think for Draymond, Steph, Klay, Durant, the way everybody meshed was so good. So a lot of it is just keep that going, hit the threes, and realize there's a huge opportunity to get up 2-0 and really, really put your imprint on the series.
Game two, Thursday night. Fitz, thank you so much.
Every other day, I love it. I didn't like the week plus wait. Let's have these games every other day.